Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
All right, first half, a lot of pontificating about life and news. And then Sean Penn in the second half. First, J.B. Weld. J.B. Weld, proud sponsor of the Adam Carolla Show. Epoxy adhesive brand used by both DIYers and pros. Trusted for 50 years. Available at jbweld.com and retailers everywhere.
Back inside the toolbox, does anybody here remember Vera Lynn? Remember how she said we would meet again some sunny day? The singer and British Forces sweetheart is dead at 103, but will live forever as a Pink Floyd lyric. Either way, she's still 87 years too old for our next artist, but since they're both dead, maybe they'll meet in hell. Bring 'em Young once said, I don't care how you bring 'em, just bring 'em young. Here's the recently deceased Benny Mardones on the toolbox.
She's just 16 years old. Leave her alone, they said. Separated by fools. Don't know what love is yet.
From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Sean Penn. With Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, and a spirited round of the Rotten Tomatoes game. And now, as a kid, his mom didn't allow fireworks. Not because of the danger, but because it has the word work in it. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on. Mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for sharing. Am I right, Gina Grad?
That's right.
And good day, Bald Brian.
What's happening, everyone?
Hey.
Terrible drop.
Sorry. You're Stone Balboa Island?
Yep, that's right. Christy and Tessa are on the beach, and I'm here with you guys.
Great. Except our connection's a little raggedy, but hopefully we'll make it through. Let's see. I got some stuff. We can all talk about 4th of July and how it worked and where we went and all that kind of stuff. Sean Penn will be on the second half of the show. Sean, as we know, tweeted out about Uppity, and Mike got hold of it, and then he got hold of Sean's guys. And then next thing you know, he's coming on in the second half of this show. So we look forward to that. I was doing some reading about Sean Penn today, and I'd always sort of assumed that his two brothers, Michael and Chris, who I knew fairly well, Michael I still know, Amy Mann's his wife till Tuesday, her and I are friends, and she's an avid boxing fan, and so I think I've worked out with her and held folks' pads and been at their place to watch fights and so on and so forth, but I'd always kind of assumed that there were some different moms or maybe even different dads in the mix, because Chris Penn and Michael Penn are not from different sides of the globe. They're from different universes. They are two different human beings. I mean, one is this big, brash, loud, husky, physical sort of boxing guy. The other guy is like a waify song model. Thoughtful, quiet, you know, strumming an acoustic guitar. I mean, just physically, they're totally different. Emotionally, they're just two wildly different human beings. And then I don't know where Sean falls in with those two, but the three of them could not be further apart. They just couldn't. And I have no, and so I was looking it up, and they all have the same biological parents, the same mom and dad. Right on through. And I get it.
Did you hate that?
Well, it kind of lets you know that I don't know. There's really no rhyme or reason to anything anymore. I mean, if you took those three guys, put them in the same room, explain what they liked, what they didn't like, their loves, how they acted, what they did for a living. I mean, they're all creative. That's sure. That's for sure. But boy, are they different, man. And I guess you have to meet Chris in person, or you had to have met Chris in person, and I guess you had to spend some time with Michael as well, just to know that how wildly different those two are. Sean, I met once or twice, so I don't know much about his work, but well, I mean much
about
him.
the way you describe them, just the brief description, it sounds like Sean is sort of the linchpin in the middle. You know, sensitive, but kind of can brawl if he wants.
Yeah, it's funny. Yeah, he's the fighting poet. And Chris is just the fighter, and Michael's just the poet. And Michael had a big album. I mean, I don't know if you guys were aware that Michael had a big hit. Do you guys aware of that?
No. I'm a huge Jenny Mann fan, but I don't know about Michael.
Yeah, Michael in the
Michael Penn?
Yeah, in the mid-90s had a big hit. Dawson will find it, but
do tell.
Yeah, he's good.
It's actually 89.
Oh, 89.
Called No Myth.
No Myth.
It was a top 20 hit.
You'll recognize the song. Picture Chris Penn singing. It'll kick in and you'll probably know it. It's a good song.
There it is.
Not Brian. No, Brian?
Yeah, I'd call it vaguely familiar. I can't say I know this song really well.
Probably
the hook.
Probably a K-Rock song. Probably used to hear it on K-Rock in 89. Anyway, this is a big album, and this is a big, big hit. And played a lot of music, obviously.
Yeah, he got the 1990 MTV VMA for Best New Artist.
Yeah.
Wow.
From that song.
Oh, so, shit.
Who?
I wonder how common it is. I imagine it's in the minority of cases, but we can take a little poll around the studio here. Like, how I imagine Genie falls into this category. I am very different than my brother. My brother and I are very different in a lot of specific ways. Like, Adam, you know how much I love to travel. He hates to leave the house. He'll do anything he can to either go to his favorite restaurant, which he goes to all the time, or stay at home. Chris and I was out doing different things. He was athletic. Let's just say I was not. I was the indoor kid. He was the outdoor kid. We're that case where we're extremely different. And I imagine that's the minority of cases, but I do imagine that happens from time to time.
Brian, I don't know. Do you remember meeting my brother?
I do. That's why I mentioned he seems very different than you.
The only question I've ever gotten my entire life is, are you blood relatives? So no, I mean, yes, I fully understand what it's like to feel like you grew up with a different parents in a different house and be completely related.
Yeah, well, Sonny and Natalia are twins, and boy, are they different. My God, are they different. They're so insanely different, especially. They're different about everything, but their temperament is completely different. Utterly. And so I'm living it on a daily basis. My sister's different. We're definitely different. Michael Penn also scored Boogie Nights too. You remember that scene?
No shit.
I mean, well, he was the engineer in Boogie Nights. Have we talked about that?
In the scene with Ricky Jay?
Yeah. He's a recording engineer. You got to feel my heat.
Oh, that
shit.
Scene. That's a fantastic scene. It's an all-time great.
Yes, that's Michael Penn.
I did not know that.
Yeah, so he's done some acting. I don't know if he scored Boogie Nights.
Yeah, he's the composer and score for the film.
Oh.
Wow.
Well, he must have wrote Feel My Heat. Right? I mean, that's in the song.
One can hope.
Yeah, that's him. That's him engineering. That's him as an engineer. Oh, yeah, it's perfect. By the way, I don't know why, but somebody brought up Arlie Ermey. Yeah, somebody brought up Arlie Ermey today, and I thought to myself, yeah, let the guys who know how to do it do it. Like, let the guy who composed scored the film, let him be the engineer when they're recording, because he spent his life in a recording studio.
That's interesting. It's got to be a Paul Thomas Anderson connection, since Amy Mann had so much to do with Magnolia.
True.
The song Save Me and One.
Weren't they both kids in LA, the Pens and Paul Thomas Anderson, weren't they both kids in LA, like with famous parents?
I think Paul Thomas Anderson grew up in LA because I think Ian Conway are friends for Ernie Anderson. And
Ernie Anderson, voice of ABC. Someone's killing showgirls, and Dan wants to know why. Next, on an all-new Love Boat, Captain Steubing's reunited with his daughter, Vicky, on an all-new Love Boat. And Fantasy Island, it was always the best. Dan Tana would follow either the Love Boat or Fantasy Island. So it's always like Barbie Benton finds love with Isaac on the Love Boat. And after that, someone's killing showgirls and Dan wants to know why. On an all new Vegas, Dan wants to know why. I bet the people who own the casino would like to know why as well. You know, the choreographer wants to know why. Hey, they have
parents want to know why.
They have siblings that would like to know, fellow dancers, other folks who are in the casino. I'm sure in general, most of America would like to know why. Don't you think? I don't feel like Dan's the only guy who wants to know why.
He's the only one interested.
Now, he's the only one that's going to take action. But everyone else does want to know why, Ernie Anderson. Let's make that clear. Dan wants to know why. Every third episode of every show I ever saw in the 70s was someone killing showgirls. I thought if you became a showgirl, there's like a 63% chance you'd be killed before your 26th birthday. Yeah.
It's a high risk profession.
So expendable. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of that. There's a lot of, just close up on hands with leather gloves and a knife cutting a rope and then a sandbag falling and crushing a showgirl. There was a lot of
very
crushing showgirls. Yeah. So, Ernie Anderson, I've told this story before, so I won't get into it, but Paul Thomas Anderson and Ernie Anderson and all those guys lived in Valley Village, essentially right off of Ventura Boulevard, San Fernando Valley, next to the Flask liquor store on Ventura Boulevard where I worked and Ernie Anderson would come in. So I remember him. I remember that. As I was reading about Sean Penn and his dad, I think, grew up right around the San Fernando Valley. So there is some sort of San Fernando Valley Penn connection. Then probably Leo Penn's his name, father's name. Interesting guy. Then they must have made their way to Santa Monica and or Malibu at some point. So there's probably some early Valley connection and then a move. And the Andersons had a few little brothers, little blonde-haired kids, used to come into the Flask liquor and say hi to me back when I was working there when I was 16. All right, so let's see. I had a story that I was talking about the other day about my mom to tell.
Yes,
that's
need to pay that off.
Super exciting. had a conversation. I'll give you guys some do's and don'ts. This is part of my stuff where people go, you know, they go, I could buy and sell you. And I just say I could buy you because once you know, if you said that about an RV or, you know, vacation home, obviously if you could buy it, then it's your prerogative to sell it after that. We've all bought and then sold things later. So I don't need I could buy and sell you. I would take I could buy then sell you to a horrible person, or maybe that's too much. That's right up there with
sell you at a discount.
Yeah, it's right up there with I'll see you in hell. Like, wait a minute,
why would I be in hell?
Yeah, or through a porthole with air conditioning.
It'd be better if you're like, I could buy you and then give you away for free.
Yeah, but even that isn't that painful. Like, I'd say I could buy you and rape you.
Yeah.
I mean, provided you're talking to a guy. If you do for a woman, crossed the line.
That's a threat.
Right.
A verbal threat.
Right. So I've had this happen, and we've all had it happen, and I don't feel like it's a good way to argue. I've had arguments. I had one recently where people go, "You don't know what I'm saying, Adam? Come on. You're a smart guy." And then I always go, "Yeah, I am smart. I'm really smart." Then I just look at him, which is, if I'm the smart guy.
Yeah, if I'm not getting it.
Maybe
you need to clarify your point.
You didn't announce you were smart and I'm a smart guy. You just announced I'm a smart guy. Sometimes they'll go, you're too smart. And it's like, okay. But now there's two of us and one of us is the smart guy and there's a conflict. So maybe it isn't the smart guy who's misunderstanding what we're talking about. I'm just saying, when arguing with people, don't announce that they're brilliant. in the middle of it. That's all. Yep. Stay with douchebag.
Good.
I had something that stuck out with me that no one's talking about, but it's perfect. I was talking to Mark Garagos on our podcast last week, and Mark keeps sort of talking about the state and the city and prosecutors. And prosecutors have an unlimited expense account. And so prosecutors get to say things like, what I'm saying is everyone is talking about defund the police. And Mark's saying, that's stupid. Don't defund the police. We need the police. Defund the prosecutors. Or give them a budget. They can't have an unlimited budget just to go, I'm going to just keep doing this thing. Like when somebody says, there's a couple versions of it. But when like Mike Nifong, who is the prosecutor with the Duke lacrosse case, where he's like, hey, we have an ATM receipt that or photographs as I was at an ATM 5 miles away at the same time this chick claimed I was raping her. It's like, I don't care. I'm moving forward anyway. Like, that's what you do if you have an unlimited budget.
Right.
Or when the mayor of Oakland was like, I know these ropes or nooses or whatever they were. I know it was nothing, but we're moving ahead anyway. We're going to go ahead with the investigation. It's like, well, that's what you would do if you had an unlimited budget. But if you ran a business, you couldn't do your budgeting that way. We're just going to move ahead with this shit anyway. So he's saying like a lot of this stuff is, think about the cops. Cops are fine. And they can get their training and we can tweak that and all that. And I'm not sure if I'd like to reimagine policing in this nation, as I've heard a lot of idiots talk about. I never think about imagining a police. These guys have guns and fucking batons and dogs and cruisers and handcuffs and shit. I'd like to modify it a little. I'm not sure.
Refine.
I don't know if we need to reimagine everything. I don't know who planted that retard seed in every politician's mouth in the last 20 minutes. We have to reimagine policing. But anyway, we should reimagine prosecutors. Because these guys have an unlimited budget. Nothing ever happens to them if they're wrong. And they can just keep going down these roads, paying tons and tons of money on cases. I mean, Mark comes in here, beat red, screaming about these guys every fucking day, going, I'm just going to go ahead and charge that guy for murder anyway. And he's going, you don't have a case. I don't care. We'll find out. We'll see in court. Like, who cares? That's what I'm doing. It's sort of like whoever's going to investigate the nooses hanging in the park in Oakland. Like, there's nothing there. Well, we're moving ahead anyway.
Yeah.
Well, and you don't just have an unlimited budget. You're congratulated for it.
Right.
This is your job and you're pat on the crime. Back for doing it. Right.
So when you think about defunding the police, also think about putting a budget for prosecutions and saying, okay, spend all the time you want going after the Duke lacrosse guys or the brother who hung up the noose or the rings or the circles at the park. But understand, you're going to have less money for doing real crimes. All right. So
we're in the salary cap era. Doesn't that make sense to everyone?
Right. Well, if we're not having an unlimited budget for everything, fine.
Is that what you talked about with your mom?
No, my mom did something. And I brought it up once. I find it eerie, stirring, bizarre.
She hugged you?
a thing you wouldn't be looking for. Hey, Max Zapata. Sorry, something just jumped into my head.
Sure.
On my phone, right after I took pictures of a gravel truck, I think. I was driving my son down the freeway. I took a picture of a gravel truck, but the next pictures I took, I took the Talleyrand too. I sent it to Jimmy. So I'll get to my mom in a second. Remind me, my mom. I had a thing on, I was getting out of here on Friday. And I was getting out here on Thursday. And Leno sent me a text. And he said, guy with the Volvo Newman Volvo wagon.
I thought he texted.
Yeah, so he texted, what it sounds like. Yeah, that's it's a Newman wagon. It's a Volvo wagon. And it's twin turbo. And give me a call. And I said, what's that mean? Is a guy selling his wagon? There's like three Volvo Newman wagons, if you guys know the story.
Is this the one that he souped up?
Right.
There could drive around the neighborhood?
There's as far as I know it, there's three. He built himself a Volvo. He liked sleeper cars. He didn't like hot rod, everyone hears you coming, sees you coming. He liked cars that look stock and look regular but hauled ass. That was his idea of a joke, you know. So he drove a Volvo wagon. It looked bone stock from the outside. You can't put the big tires and rims and brakes and everything. It just looked bling. And he had shoehorned in a Ford Mustang 302 with a supercharger on it that was making a shitload of horsepower. So he could haul ass and look like a sleeper car. So evidently he owned one, and then that one got auctioned off or sold to a car collector who I know. And then there was another one that I think he built for David Letterman. And I think Letterman had or still has the second Volvo wagon. Then there's this third Volvo wagon I never heard about, which is evidently Volvo had gotten news that Newman was taking their product and hot rodding it, and they made a hot rodded Volvo wagon. They made it in Sweden. They built one in the factory and gave it to Newman. So I said, I didn't know about this car, but that's a cool story. Volvo made him a special wagon and then gave it to Paul, and then Paul drove that wagon, I guess, in 99. Anyway, so I called Jay, and I told Jay, why don't I come by on Friday, and I'll come see it. And he said, yeah. And I said, yeah. And then I told Sonny, we'll go by on Friday. And then we got our wires crossed a little, and whatever, something happened. And I ended up in the valley in North Hollywood, and I was going to go see Jay, but I had to kill about an hour, and I had Sonny with me because Sonny's finally starting to wake up to how cool Leno's shop is and all that stuff. And Leno's got crazy stuff. He showed me the first fire engine that LA County ever had. Now, not the first firefighting apparatus, but the first fire engine, like self-propelled. Like they used to be pulled by horse and wagon, you know, or horse and horse. But now they were the wagon. This is the first one. It was a front wheel drive fire engine, crazy thing. Sonny took a little shot of it or film of it or something like that. But anyway, you know, I think 1919 or something wow, like that. But anyway, you realize we're not that far away. It wasn't that long ago that, you know, Sean Penn's dad was alive when we had firefighting was a wagon pulled by horses.
Oh, and if you saw the movie Gangs in New York, the firefighting brigades were private. They plotted against each other. You remember the scene in Gangs in New York where the guy hides a barrel or takes a barrel and puts it over the fire hydrant so as not to their crews can't use it.
So then the picture Maxipat at before the fire is my dad's old house, which is right after the stupid gravel trucks. I marvel at the gravel trucks as me and Sonny were driving on the freeway behind two of them. They're two huge trucks that have those things that step out 3.5-4 feet, the big steel triangulated bumper thing that is it's chest high for everyone who drives a car. And I just keep thinking, in a world where we outlawed lawn darts, in a world where we're not allowed to light off sparklers, although if you go to East L.A. or Compton, I think there some of those folks may be ignoring that.
Rich man, poor man. There were a lot of fireworks here on the island last night.
Oh, really?
Sparklers, a lot of poppers and sparklers, yeah.
In a world where they have to design cars, the front of a car has to be designed for contacting pedestrians. Do you know that?
Like, so as not to impale anybody.
Right. Or you can't use stainless steel on your grill. It has to be plastic or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. These trucks roam the freeways all over the place with these 3-foot-long triangulated rust-colored. They're not. There's no brake light on it. There's no reflective tape on it. And it is 4.5 feet off the ground. Like, if you are in a Mini Cooper and somebody rear-ends you, you're literally just crushed. It goes right through your windshield. I don't know why that is legal and this other thing, everything else is illegal. I have no idea, but these trucks are all over. Anyway, there's two of them. So I said to Sonny, take a picture. So Sonny and I were driving around. I dropped him off at the famous Chick-fil-A. He said, should we get Jay something?
Oh, no.
I said, I gave him a $100 gift certificate. I don't know what Jay says. Don't tell him anything about Chick-fil-A. Just don't bring it up. So we're driving around. We passed the Talleyrand, which is the restaurant that was on our wheel. I sent a picture to Jimmy because
that was the bad restaurant.
That was the bad. Yeah, we had a wheel. Our breakfast go to breakfast wheel after Kevin and Bean had Bob's Big Boy on it, and a couple places we wanted to eat, and then the Talleyrand. We didn't want to eat at the Talleyrand, and but we put it on there anyway. And if it landed on it, then we have to go to the Talleyrand. That's the way guys are wired. So I was,
you're men of honor.
We're men of honor. So I was driving around, and all I did with Sonny is I had about an hour to kill before Leno's, and I was going to drive from where I was in kind of Burbank area to where he is in kind of North Hollywood, Sun Valley area, and there's no use getting on the freeway, so we just drove past every horrible apartment I lived in and my family lived in and every horrible house we lived in. And I kept pointing at it going, Sonny, would you like to live in there? And he's like, no, because the valley is so fucking trashy. And as you get deep, as you get deeper into that valley, it is turning into a fucking oh, my God. It is turning into a goddamn war zone out there. It's just trash and people sleeping on the streets and junk piled up everywhere. So I had him take a few pictures of the house that I always talk about, which is the land that time forgot. It's like some dirt. It's dirt. The driveway's dirt. There's just growth and like busted up fence. It's just a fucking nightmare. And it's never been touched. And it's, again, my dad bought it for $13,000 in, you know, 1974. But the thing is Sonny's 14. So I said, when I was 14, that's where I lived. That's where I lived when I was 14. Because that's the house that's yeah, we're looking at it now. You can't see over the fence, but if you go up on it, it's dirt. It's just, the driveway's dirt. Who has a dirt? I mean, rich man, poor man, dirt driveway or non-paved driveway, I guess. That would be, yeah.
Is there no sidewalk, or has the sidewalk been demolished and left?
There is no sidewalk.
That's a rich man, poor man right there. No sidewalk. Because in the wealthy neighborhoods in West LA, there's no place to walk.
There's just dirt everywhere and a little shack in the back and growth everywhere. And
what do they need a gate for?
I think it's to keep their dog in. Yeah. Yeah. It is. I took some pictures of the houses around it, like the neighboring houses. Like, it is the most depressing shit I've ever seen in my life, and I can't goddamn believe I used to live there. Anyway, I told Sonny, remember this, because when we're driving down our street and you look at those houses now you know. Yeah. All right. I got a depressing mom story. First, I'll tell you guys about Simply Safe, number one sign of bad home security system. It's complicated, people. You never use it. Simply Safe. It is simply faster. Designed to be easy to use while protecting your whole family and the whole home 24/7. Order online. Open the box. Place the sensors. Peel and stick. 3M tape. Batteries last up to 10 years. Plug it in. Plug the main unit in and you're done. So everything's on a battery. And then there's a small main unit that you plug in. No technician or salesperson will come to disrupt your house and track their boots all over the place. No outrageous monthly fees or contracts, multi-year contracts. We've always used Simply Safe. Everyone here does it. It's easy, quick, and simple. And it's named the best overall home security in 2020 by U.S. and World Report. 24/7 monitoring and emergency dispatch starts at just 50 cents a day. Right, Dawson?
Head to simplysafe.com/Adam and get a free HD camera for our listeners. That's simplysafe.com/Adam to make sure they know that our show sent you.
All right. Let's see. So I was, I want to go visit my mom and my stepdad. Had our sort of bizarre farewell tour. My parents are getting old, you know. I think they're trying they realize they don't have much left in the tank. It's probably time to maybe see if we can mend a few fences or something. But then I realized, and I've known it, I guess I've known it my whole life, but I could never, it wasn't that clear to me what was sort of missing always. And I realized my grandmother had the same thing. My dad kind of did. My family, on my grandmother's side, we spent a lot of time always talking about somebody else, but never any time talking about us or what we were doing or anybody in the family. It's always discussions of, well, Jules Mandel has got him. He's playing Man of La Mancha at the Conejo Community Theater, and Jules is excited about it. You know, it's like we just talk about it for a long period of time.
Right.
And we never really talked about what we were doing or what I was doing or any of that, which is, you know, many could argue was the opposite of family, right? Let's talk about other people.
Most families engage and ask what's going on in your life, yeah.
Then we eventually get to Jules Mandel, but that doesn't start the conversation.
Right. So we always were talking about what Dorothy Gravitch and Jules Mandel were up to and stuff. And these people had no place in my life. I didn't really know them that well. I hadn't seen them for years and so on and so forth. So we had this long discussion about a seafood chain that was in the Oxnard Ventura County area, and with very many details about how they did a traditional seafood, but they put their own kind of flair on it, and it was very good. And it was a chain, but it was a small chain, but it was about three restaurants, but didn't have any out here in the Los Angeles area. You had to go to like Ventura. And, you know, how my mom felt they could be trusted. They seemed responsible to, you know, wash their hands and wipe everything down. And we had this long, very detailed conversation about this restaurant I'm never going to, right? But it's fine. I didn't mind that. And then at some point, it was on a Sunday, and the New York Times bestseller list was coming out the following day. And I knew I wasn't on it. And I think my stepdad said something about, you have a book coming out or something? And I said, I kind of unloaded a little, not in a negative way to them, but I said, yeah, I do. And I'm not going to be on the New York Times bestseller list, even though I've sold enough units to be on the New York Times bestseller list. But now everything's politicized and I'm on the wrong side of the issues. And so there is no Sundance for the documentaries, and there's no New York Times bestseller list for the books. And essentially, there's a bit of a blackballing going on, and I'm kind of on the losing end of that. And so the book's successful, and it'll sell a lot of units, but there won't be any New York Times bestseller list because I'm perceived to be on the wrong side of the issues. And if you're on the wrong side of the issues and you don't get into these events and you don't get on the New York Times bestseller list. I did about 15 minutes on that, and then I stopped, and then they both just looked at me, and then it was just dead silence.
Just, what does this have to do with seafood restaurant?
Right, it was so silent for so long that I said something I rarely say in conversations, which is after about a 7 Mississippi of silence, I said, do you have thoughts on what I just said? I literally said it to him. I didn't know what else to do. It was either just sit there in utter silence or just ask them what they thought.
Which
didn't have a lot of info on what? That. And, but I thought to myself,
well, what are you going to do? Just, you know, some throwaway cliche.
I would take an adversarial. Well, that's what you get.
Yeah. So we had this long, very comprehensive discussion about a seafood restaurant I wasn't going to. And then I just laid out this whole thing about your son's not going to be on the New York Times bestseller list, or, and basically your son is getting jobbed by the system. And it was just dead silence, and we just looked at each other, and I thought, I think this is what's wrong with our relationship. Because at this point, a mother and even a stepdad can step up And you don't have to be brought to tears or yell, give me some names, I'm going after these people, and pump a shotgun. But you can ask questions.
Yeah, engage. Just to be fair, because you might not see it this way, but you had a 15-minute conversation about a seafood restaurant you're not going to. They had a 15-minute conversation about a book they're not going to read.
They're not
going to
buy or read.
I just thought, I don't know why me. So what it was, it's a couple things. It was, I was talking about me, and then yeah. I was also talking about being wronged, essentially, which is now you have to defend somebody or do take some actions or do something. And I have no idea why that is utterly stifling to the point where there's no syllable spoken after it. Just silence. Just you just sit there silently. But I think that's kind of the crux of what the chasm yeah. was in our that's where our disconnect was in our relationship. Now then, of course, I always picture myself being 8 and dealing with that. Like yeah. now I'm just gonna get my big car and go to my big house.
I know this is a non-starter. I know the answer, but given your mom's kind of interest in current events and social issues, like she should read your book. It's full of, you know, topical thoughts and conversation starters, God forbid. But of course,
Brian,
she's not
please. That.
No, listen, they may love you very much, but these are flawed people.
It's weird. So it's somehow that conversation became, that conversation became threatening to them at some point. And I don't know, threatening of intimacy, threatening mm-hmm. of a connection, threatening of an exchange of feelings or ideas. Mm-hmm. Like there was something threatening, but here's kind of my thing. It also comes across as like insanely passive aggressive, like to just literally sit there in silence.
It's like most passive.
I mean, what if you just said, oh man, but I had a horrible day the other day. Somebody stole my mountain bike. And you just sat there and stared at them. People think you were a dick, right?
Like, well, it comes across as like Asperger's here, sociopathic. Like you don't know how to act, at least act like a human, engage in conversation, even if God forbid you're not interested.
Mike Lynch wrote, your mom actually celebrates Codependence Day. It's funny.
Sort of independence.
Yeah. So that was my funny, weird mom story. And then also, I don't know.
That's worse. That's worse than a slight. The silence
is worse
than a slight.
It's so fucked up and weird. Like it's so. So then the rules are, as long as you're talking about somebody who's dead or alive. We talked about a old friend who died quite some time ago and got into all the details about what happened to her and who was at the funeral and as long as we're talking about people that are dead or seafood restaurants you'll never go into, we can have long, unencumbered, spirited conversations. As soon as you get on to something that has to do with you or them or something, but it's in a way, it dovetails nicely if you think about it in the famous John Stewart is dead to her conversation. So mm-hmm. huge fan of John Stewart. Now I know John Stewart. Now I'm friends with John Stewart. Now he's dead. He's
yeah,
never
not a fan.
So, and Jimmy Kimmel died when he went off to host the Oscars and stuff too. He's never been, his name's never been brought up after he went to do that. So this is actually the same part. I think this is in the same realm emotionally, right? John Stewart did something. Yeah. He did something. You did something. Now it's all dead.
Under the same umbrella, for sure.
Theme. All right. Yeah. So that was a happy, that was a wonderful discussion. Also,
obviously.
I always think about things I say to other people and then think what I would do if other people said things to me. Like I have conversations with people where I go, how many times do you want to discuss this? What's it going to take for you to bubba? Can you please, for the love of Christ, just fucking rinse out your coffee mug. Like, can you please do that for me? Like, I thought I put a pistol in my mouth. If I was having a conversation with somebody and there's a long pause after they spilled their guts to me and then they went, do you have thoughts about what I just said to you? I would just take out a starting pistol and just put it in my fucking mouth and blow my brains all over the fucking curtain behind me. Like, I can't, how do they not, you know, when you say like, you know, it's, or if they say like, hey guys, we're starting the show at 4 today instead of 5. Brian, that means 4. That doesn't mean 4:10.
Oh, yeah, got it.
No,
man.
I mean, I would kill myself if people talk to me the way I talk to them. I don't know why they're, I guess that's what gets them to that place. They're impervious to that. All right, we got Rotten Tomatoes, Sean Penn soon. Why don't we save Rotten Tomatoes for tomorrow, and then we'll take a quick break, and we'll do the news, and we'll break and do Sean Penn, all that right after this.
Give me the news with Grad, news with Gino Grad, breaking viral, all those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gino Grad, trouble in the Middle East, celebrity drunk meltdowns. Deep news with Gino Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Well, even though all but one fireworks show was canceled in L.A. County, the Lancaster mayor, Rex Paris, is a hoot. And he was the one that literally pulled the trigger on his fireworks. That didn't stop numerous residents from making all of our neighborhoods sound like a war zone and setting off their own. I don't know if you've seen this video, but, you know, they said no fireworks for anybody this year. And here's the drone shot. This is from SoCal Attractions 360 on YouTube. Shows the entire city on the 4th. And if you can't see it, you can certainly hear it.
It's like Dresden, World War II, night bombings.
We had plenty of fireworks around our neighborhood in the valley.
Yeah. It's hard to tell Mexican folks you can't light off fireworks on the 4th of July. They like fireworks, and they're going to party.
I checked this morning to see if there was any report put up yet of injuries or emergency room numbers going higher because so many people were doing their own. But those numbers, if they come in, they're certainly not in yet.
Well, evidently,
but I'm very curious.
Evidently, fireworks are a lot safer than we thought, because I was watching. I went up to the hill and I just saw my favorite. So what I do normally is I go to Jimmy Kimmel's. He's got a place at the beach. We climb up on his roof deck, not just me and him alone. That would be gay. There's a third dude with a mustache. Everyone climbs up the roof on the deck. We watch a fireworks show. And then when that ends, the official fireworks show, we drive back to L.A. on the 110 through South Central and some of the dicier parts of the city, and then watch the second bootleg fireworks show, which is going off. So there's a lot in that part of the city. Now, they always talk about how dangerous fireworks are and what a fire hazard everything is. If there weren't any fires, then these things aren't as dangerous as we thought, because they were lit up. And if you want to know, like, people are like, where's all this stuff come from? I was talking to Jose, who works at the other shop, and he said, you guys want some fireworks for the 4th of July? And I was like, yeah. I was thinking, like, what do you got, like a Piccolo Pete or a sparkler or maybe a snake
black cat
or a fountain? And I go, what do you got? And he goes, oh, I know a guy. And I said, oh, what's he got? And he goes, mortars. And I said, mortars? I don't think I can.
The size of a paint can?
Yeah, I don't think we can do any mortars. And he's like, ah, that's what he's got. And I'm like, I said, how's it work? And he's like, he goes to Nevada, loads up his truck, and comes back and sells them. And I'm like, oh, okay. That's why it looked like a war zone. Guys go to Nevada, buy a bunch of mortars, bring them back, sell them, and then everyone lights it off.
Yeah, because apparently China, who, you know, we get a lot of those types of things from, very slow and limited production this year because of the pandemic. So they weren't coming in from there. So that was kind of a question. Wasn't it with Jason Pierre-Paul, isn't he the football player that blew his fingers off?
He blew
but he still plays, right? Or
he lost a couple digits, but he didn't blow his hand off. He blew his couple digits.
But he could still throw a ball.
Not everyone plays quarterback. They have different positions.
Does that mean you don't touch the ball if you play defense?
She was like, how do you throw a ball and catch it at the same time? Is it? Yeah.
That's not what I was saying.
He's playing defense. He tackles the guy.
Oh, you can still tackle.
You tackle the guy, throws the ball. Yeah, you can. There's a guy in the NFL with no hand, not much less as a linebacker on the. Oh, you know this guy. He was all over like Nike commercials like 2 years ago. There's a linebacker on the Seahawks. You'd recognize this guy because it's inspirational. There's a linebacker on the Seahawks that has a nub. I mean, he doesn't have a hand. His forearm just sort of comes down to an end.
And that's so it's very much not needed.
That's a position where you would catch the ball much more often than a defensive lineman.
You could definitely could use that hand. Yeah, Shaquem Griffin. Yeah.
God bless.
There he is.
Wow.
Yeah. God, God save the quarterback that has him do a pick six on you. The guy with one hand just picked your ass up.
Yeah. All shame moments.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, he blew his fingers off, but he still tackled.
He got back in the game.
Mm-hmm.
So the news from the big event, the big sporting event that most people were, that was the only thing you could follow the last couple of weeks, the Nathan's hot dog eating contest. And things shook down just as most people expected. Joey Chestnut choked down 75 hot dogs and buns in 10 minutes to win his 13th title. Somewhere around the 8-minute mark, Chestnut made history by eating his 1,000th career dog. He also Mickey Sudo, she was the one that they had our bets on for women. She ate 48 and a half hot dogs to win the women's division and set a world record. It's her 7th title, and the odds makers had pegged both of them as the favorites. God bless.
So Kobayashi was the champion, and Kobayashi was a little, I guess, Japanese guy who was shredded. Like, that guy was ripped. Like, he was like built like an athlete, a gymnast. And then Joey Chestnut was like a big lumbering guy, but then he got all lean and now he's kicking ass. So the somehow seeing the big fat guy's not an advantage when it comes to eating. Yeah. It's turned into a sport and everyone's in good shape. But then that makes me think, what about this female?
We have a picture. Can you show the picture of Mickey and Joey together? I believe she has a bodybuilder boyfriend.
Oh,
and she's,
yeah.
You know, she's a super thin chick.
Yeah. I'll tell you, I would like to be the boyfriend of this gal because I'd be like, hey, could I get a blowjob? And she'd be like, I really don't think I'm up to it tonight. And I'd be like, really? Because you just ate 48 and a half hot dogs. I mean, come
on. 48 wieners.
You want to go another half? Or I'll call myself 3/4. Whatever. I'm just saying, come on now. Come on. You can't play that.
You barely have to swallow.
It would look different. No spectators. And they had like plastic partitions in between each participant. Everyone that brought them their food and supplies wore masks. So it's still a win. A win's a win.
Yeah. If you're sitting front row at a hot dog eating contest, that's on you anyway, right? Like, I mean, who would want to be front and center for that shit show? And look,
poor planning or a real fetish?
I think the rules should be the same as I've said, like make this stuff a little better like they do with the NBA shootout. You know, you make that fifth ball the money ball, like the red, white, and blue ball. You know, have the chili dog is the fifth every dog. Have a Chicago in every fifth dog. You know, break it up. Everyone's just dunking everything in water and shoving it. You should have to eat your, let's say he does 75. Right. Okay. Here's what I'd like. Let's make the 15th dog and the 10th for the women's division a regular dog, like chili cheese dog, Chicagoan style, or whatever.
Ooh, bacon wrapped.
Bacon wrapped street dog. And you have to eat it conventionally.
Right.
You can eat as fast as you want, but it's got to be conventionally. You can pull apart and dip 14. When you get to 15, that chili dog, you got to eat that chili dog.
Like a human being.
Right. As fast as you can, but I would watch.
Like an American.
Like an American.
Well, and I know this isn't the same thing, but it makes me think of, you know, the show Man versus Food, that he'd go to, you know, restaurants across America, whatever, and have an eating contest basically with himself. And one time it was pancakes and he couldn't get through them, the pancakes and syrup, and he just couldn't go anymore. And then he said, I have an idea. Bring me, because you'd think if you're full, you're full. But he said, no, bring me a plate of bacon. Because the saltiness like reset his palate. He's like, okay, I think I could shove more pancakes in my mouth. But there was something he needed. He needed a different kind of taste to be able to keep going. So maybe the hot dog being different would actually help them.
Yeah, I doubt it. But either way, it's sort of, look, first off, we're not here so you guys can live your best life. I like to make this into a little bit of a spectator sport, you know, and it's kind of fun. The NBA All-Star Weekend, and hockey for that matter, figure this shit out. Like, they're having speed skating competition, handling competition. Like, there's fun stuff. Home Run Derby and MLB. You know, they're doing fun stuff now. And like I said, the NBA, you know, they had the dunk competition, but now they have the three-point competition and other things like that. It's like, makes it fun. When you see them grab that red, white, and blue money ball at the end of it, it's like, it changes things. So, do it with the hot dog eating competition.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, speaking of sports, the NBA has a lot of logistical kinks to work out before they resume the season at Disney World in Orlando. And one of them that I don't know that many people have thought about involves the players' language. So playing in an empty arena with no crowd noise to drown out the barrage of F-bombs and insults and everything are not for TV. Certainly not
That's
for network
great.
TV. And the league is considering broadcasting the games on a tape delay in order to bleep out the cursing and the shit-talking and keep viewers and advertisers happy. I would imagine mostly advertisers. The only ones who may not be happy are the adult fans, who people are probably looking forward to hearing all that, but they're hoping to put it on a little bit of a tape delay to get a little bit out ahead of it.
I don't know. Can we just... Aren't we at a place now in our society? I mean, what are we protecting the kids from again? Know what I mean? I mean, can't we just put a little disclaimer? There's going to be some language here, and if that upsets you, then tune out and then just let it roll. Like, what are we even talking at this point? In this point in our society, yeah. Really?
It's like, you know, we talk about security theater, like taking your shoes off at the airport. This is that. This is like, right. You know, social security theater.
Yeah, I am. I was talking to Sonny about this, and he's excited, and everyone's excited about getting sports. I don't know. Sports symbolically stands for so much in this country. You know,
no,
it really
yeah.
is like, oh, back to normal. Like I was talking to him earlier today, and I'm like, hey, preseason, football season, what's going on, man? So, yeah, good. Get back to it. I want to watch some sports. I want to watch any more cornhole championships. I want to watch some real sports. Gina?
If yes. you want to watch football, you may not be watching the Redskins anymore because that name is up for review. Team owner Dan Snyder has resisted calls in the past to have the team name changed due to some racist connotations, but the team announced on Friday that it would review the name. So I have a list of some of the top contenders and as far as sports betting's concerned, the odds of what the next team name will be.
Oh, all right. So... Somebody said, like, I was talking to Sonny about it, like, oh, they're just going to have an R with the arrow going through it. But I thought, do we need to change the logo?
I'm glad you brought that up because that comes up in one of the name suggestions.
Because the logo looks like a proud Native American. But then if you switch your name to the Sea Turtles, then it's going to be weird to have that. Yeah, so go ahead.
Exactly. Well, one that I guess is getting some big attention, at least on social media, is the Washington Red Tails. Adam, I feel like you may know what the Red Tails are, where that name comes from. If not, I'll tell you.
No, it sounds like a bird, and it sounds like someone who fought in a colonial war.
It's the Tuskegee Airmen?
There you go.
Oh,
sorry, I didn't call on you, Brian.
Very good. Red Tails.
The name Red Tails celebrates the World War II Tuskegee Airmen, who were the first African-American military aviators in the U.S. Armed Forces. So that name's getting some buzz.
I didn't know. I've seen a million Tuskegee stories, and I never heard the Red Tail part.
Chris can look this up. Wasn't there a movie that kind of came and went like four years ago called Red Tails?
Oh, maybe that was it. Maybe. Yeah. With Cuba Gooding Jr.
Something like that, yeah.
So to address Adam's point, the Washington Warriors is also a possibility. However, that is already drawing backlash on social media, saying those tweeting about the Warriors, it's still going to have feathers and arrows on the logo. And if you do that, you're missing the whole point.
Well, Adam, you're old enough to remember when Stanford changed their name from the Warriors to the Cardinal.
I don't remember that. But
was it the Stanford Indians or Stanford Warriors? Now I'm getting confused.
It was something. My feeling is Redskins is offensive. Warrior is not. People go, that dude's a warrior, man. And they're talking about a guy who never missed a day of work or whatever.
You can be a warrior of any shape or creed.
I agree. So change it. But I don't know. Don't when you go, if you say Warrior, then you've missed a point of our discussion. I disagree. I think Warrior is a tip of the cap to whoever you're speaking of, and Redskin is offensive. All right, Sean Penn is on hold, Gina, so we're going to bring it home. Would you please?
Away with us. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Gina Grad!
That was the news with Gina Grad.
Last but not least here, LifeLock, everybody. Cyber criminals aren't letting COVID-19 stop them from committing tax fraud. That's right. We extended it to July 15th. That just gave the criminals more time to steal your identity and commit tax fraud in your good name. Remember, the IRS will not contact you directly by mail, text, message, or other online platforms. So if someone is doing that, saying they're the IRS, it is someone trying to rip off your identity. Identity thieves are getting smarter all the time, and that's why you need comprehensive protection, especially during tax season. With the most vital information that's being shared out there, and that's why you need LifeLock. LifeLock, the leader in identity theft protection, they're LifeLock. It's 2020. Protect yourself, right, Dawson?
No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses. LifeLock can see threats you might miss on your own. Join now and save up to 25% off your first year by using promo code Adam. Call 1-800-LifeLock or head to LifeLock.com. Use promo code Adam for 25% off.
All right. I will bid adieu to Gina and Bald. We'll take a quick break. Come right back with actor and filmmaker and humanitarian Sean Penn right after this.